Let's get right into the action. No credits, no nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Straight cracking.
Oh, man.
So this was our best reviewed movie online with critics. Uh-huh. Not necessarily with fans, but with the critics, they kind of like this more than the others. Uh-huh. The main critique they got from this was actually one of the things you liked most about this is the facials.
Right.
A lot of, they didn't like the facials. They thought it was a little too overplayed.
Well, who cares?
Just sharing information.
Yeah.
No, kill the messenger.
I really don't care about that. But yeah, so I remember this scene very well. This was one of the later scenes we shot, if I remember, and you know, right in like the East New York area by your old residence, and we just kind of pulled up and started shooting. And this is like so much of the movie of just pulling up to places and just shooting.
This is the most guerrilla filmmaking we've ever done.
This is guerrilla filmmaking 101. If you want to see a true guerrilla film, this is it. A lot of me walking around with the camera in a harness, just picking locations randomly, setting things up, shooting.
I think this is handheld. I don't think he uses harnesses.
Either handheld or a harness. Would have been one or the other. This probably
no, I'm pretty handheld. Sure it was handheld.
That's probably handheld. But
I think the whole movie was handheld.
Yeah, I didn't use a harness at all.
No,
really?
No.
And that's real guerrilla then.
Yeah. Wow. It was just the camera. No boom, no harness, no anything. Just me, you, and the camera.
Wow.
Me, you, and the camera, and some bikes at one point, too. So we biked around our phone locations.
So what I also did for this movie is I, like, Googled, like, a whole, like, list of scams. Mm-hmm. And this was one of the scams that came up. It was called, like, Ghetto Mechanic. And it was just somebody, like, this is real stuff.
That was a DVD cover right there.
Yeah.
Looking at the money.
And this is, like, real stuff. Like, mm-hmm. This is real stuff of, like, people pretending like, oh, your car has a funny sound, but I can fix it.
And yeah.
Sometimes people
and that was my cousin in there. Mm-hmm. We tried to get him in a bunch of movies, even in the first one, House of the Damned, it just never worked out. That was his one and only role.
He's always very supportive.
Super supportive guy.
He used to come to all of our
screenings. Yeah.
Everything.
He was super supportive. Yeah.
He was a great guy. And that skateboard in the back, years later, became my son's first skateboard.
It's still at your crib, right?
I think it's broken.
Oh, it's broken.
I'm sorry. But yeah, like that became his inspiration for skateboarding. Uh-huh. And this is another scene where I was like super paranoid shooting it.
You were real paranoid about some of this.
At this
stuff.
Point, like with my job and everything, I'm like, oh, last thing I need to do is go to Target and get arrested.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was late in the summer. I think I just came in, held the camera, we walked around. I don't even know if we knew exactly where we were headed.
No, you could sit out a boat. We just walked around and did shit.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that Target one was interesting. Because I when you're in the heat of it, you don't even know what people are thinking. But it was just two guys with a bunch of clothes and a camera going into a dressing room and no one asks questions.
Oh, man. Only in New York. Only in New York.
Sasha Simmons here.
Oh, yeah.
Baby.
So it's funny, like she was like from, I think, Louisiana or New Orleans, and was like just up here for like a week or a weekend.
Getting work done.
So we just grabbed her and started shooting.
Yeah, that was a great get.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think like, I don't know if my cousin found this bike or we found it on the street, but it was just some kid's bike without a seat that was just perfect for this character.
Yeah. And it could barely ride it. It was terrible.
I barely got in front of her. She's lucky I didn't run her over. I think it even had like a flat too. But it was just so perfect for this movie.
So one of the
another element of guerrilla filmmaking, just picking up trash and shit and
anything.
Just incorporating it.
Anything. And one of the other sources of inspiration for this character was this movie, this documentary on HBO.
Dope Sick Love.
Dope Sick Love.
Yeah.
And there was one character that like did a couple of funny ass things, and like I wanted to. I mean, he, at one point he wore a hat like that, and he was like scrambling around for like crack rocks. And, we got some of the inspiration from that. Maybe smoke up a chip, please. But yeah, for every scene we wanted to make, he was like sweaty as possible.
A lot of baby oil and water. A lot of baby oil and water. Just doused in it.
And it was like in the summer and it was hot. Must have been uncomfortable as hell.
Yeah.
This probably was like an early August shooting too.
Yeah. So with this, there's some scripted scenes that come up, but a lot of this stuff is like not only is it not scripted, it's like before we hit action, it was like, wait a minute, what am I saying in this scene? Action is like...
But you know, I think like by this point we had done a lot of movies,
yeah,
and you were just ready to go. You know, yeah, it was like, yeah, like you were there, you take the lead, you go with it, and hopefully the person who was there would play off of me.
Yeah.
Because we had so many other like experiences, yeah, with like ad-libbing and just letting people do things that, yeah, it would always devolve into like arguments or like nonsensical conversations.
A lot of circular arguments happen when you ad-lib.
Yeah.
Even when you're not supposed to be combative in a scene,
yeah,
I think instinctually people just go to like circular arguments when they ad-lib.
Yeah.
But you're right. I think what helped the ad-libbing is that my character naturally takes the lead in these conversations. So all they have to do is play off of me.
Right. Because you have a purpose.
Yeah, exactly.
And every scene, like, you're going into it, like, you're trying to achieve something.
And that's the goal in every scene.
Right.
It's not necessarily in this movie, but just in general.
Right.
It's to have a purpose.
Yeah.
And the best time is when you're contrasting with someone else.
Right.
And when they see me sweaty and toily,
yeah,
and I'm pushing, they could just react to me naturally and the scene will work. They don't even have to act. You know, it's just like, what the fuck is this guy doing? And it's like, man, that's some really good acting she's doing.
That's my favorite one of
the
movie.
You know what's funny? Before this scene, I think you made me shove, like, you were just like looking around the room. Yeah, shove that in your pocket, shove this in your pocket, shove that in your pocket. We literally looked around the apartment. And I shoved everything I could in my pocket before we did the scene where I just was looking for that crack rock.
So much, we had a lot of shooting up in this movie, too. A lot of crack,
yeah. A lot of crack.
And I remember,
and
like,
a lot of crack.
Yeah. And there was like another movie we did previously, and I don't know which one it was, but somebody was playing like a crackhead. It may have even been They Almost Died.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget that, like, there was some black dude who was like by the shoe.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me and you, he's like, oh, that's supposed to be a crackhead? And we were like, yeah. And he was like, man, you got to really run him through the mud a lot more to look like a crackhead.
Mm-hmm.
So for this movie, wanted to make sure that you were run through the mud in every fucking scene.
Oh, man.
Oh, jeez.
There goes some real crack right there.
Oh, Lord. Oh! Oh! Oh!
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Damn.
Sasha Simmons coming through.
Yeah. I mean, like, this crack, he doesn't deserve this.
You know, there's so many things I want to talk about, but I forgot how breakneck pace this movie is.
Yeah.
It's like by the time you get into a story, like, the scene is over. But, yeah, because even with that first scene, what I wanted to mention, too, is, like, with ad-libbing, sometimes people don't get out your way.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like that scene where we're doing mechanic thing. There was a guy asking for a cigarette,
mm-hmm,
like half the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Just some like bum, like out of nowhere.
Look at those hips moving. She is for real. I mean, I know you like that other girl from Mandingo.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Sasha Simmons might be the hottest one for me.
Well, yeah, she's up there. She's up there.
Smoking.
She is fine.
Jesus Christ, that girl's hot.
She's fine. She's fine. There are a couple other bangers in this too, but she might be number one in this.
She is just.
She's definitely top two or three.
Yeah.
Prime Anna, don't fuck with Prime Anna. Prime Anna is good.
Yeah.
Prime Anna, white girl from Mandingo, Sasha Simmons. That might be top three right there.
Sasha's
just smoking. Yeah, Sasha was. She was fine. But yeah, here's some of the scripted scenes that we brought in later. And we were speaking before this recording, that's the only thing Ace was missing, is a few scripted scenes like this.
Yeah.
And it would have been number one, but this one has it. So we'll see at the end of this viewing where we put it in the ranking of the movies we've done together. But this really helps to tie things together a little bit, this through line, because as fun as the stuff we shot that was ad-libbed in the first few days or however long it took us to shoot the main part of the production, it's just sex scenes, sex scene scam drugs. So you just need something to pull the stuff together. Although all that stuff is great, though.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is another movie of you and Wally having this odd couple relationship, yeah. Being the straight-laced guy who probably doesn't even know what the hell has gone on in the rest of the movie. He has no idea. He's a bleeding heart, and you're just there taking advantage of him. It's a similar dynamic that we've had in our last four movies. That always is the gift that keeps giving.
Yeah, yeah. We just have that chemistry, man. Yeah. Yeah.
There he's a brother who just sees no wrong in you.
No, he doesn't. He's either my brother, my cousin, or my best friend. One, I think we're brothers. Here's another banger. Don't sleep on this one either.
She's not a Sasha Simmons, but no. She's a good looking,
though. The body, though. Yeah, she's body. The body. The body. Body is fire. But, but yeah, like,
now this scene here, like, kind of what you're saying, mm-hmm. I remember, like, there's two things that inspired this. Mm-hmm. One was my cousin, mm-hmm. who, like, came and lived with me for a while, and mm-hmm. him and I once got a conversation where he was trying to write something, mm-hmm. he just kept talking about he wasn't focused, and I know he wanted to smoke some weed. It was like his way of telling me he wanted to smoke weed, mm-hmm. so that was part of it.
Wasn't this also in Dope Sick Love, where he was trying to write a poem to his girl?
That was the other piece, too.
Yeah.
The other piece, too, was Dope Sick Love.
Yeah, I think he was trying to write a poem to her.
Yeah,
was she in jail or she was in rehab? I think her dad put her in rehab or something like that.
She was in jail.
She was in jail.
At least she was at like Rikers. Yeah, yeah, she was.
She was somewhere, and he was trying to
because he went and he picked her up right over there in East Elmhurst where the Rikers bus lets you off.
Okay,
she was definitely in Rikers.
Yeah,
yeah,
and he was so drugged up.
Yeah, he just wanted to write her this letter. He's got to think about what he's writing. It was both of those things that came to my mind.
Yeah, but yeah, this has a lot of the elements of some of our other movies where there's a lot of sex, a lot of drugs, but the sex and the drug scenes, I think here, top any sex and drug scene. Well, yeah. The sex is good in a lot of the movies, but it tops a lot of the drug scenes we've done before.
Sure.
They really come off well. Because you look at a movie like Lust for Vengeance, which is a movie we both didn't like as much on the reviewing, that had a lot of sex and drugs, but some of the girls weren't that hot, and some of the drug scenes weren't that interesting.
Right.
But this it's just fire. Every time there's sex and drugs, it's really entertaining.
Right. And I think the camera is like, it's sort of close to the level of like Mandingo and Ace, where you have solid camera work, even though it's sort of like mm-hmm. handheld and it's kind of moving around a lot. But mm-hmm. It's definitely, I think, more of a solid, you know, cinematography piece than others.
Well, I think the handheld cannot work in a lot of situations.
Right.
But I think the chaotic nature of this, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. like the handheld was done out of necessity, the guerrilla mm-hmm. filmmaking, the rapid pace that we're shooting, mm-hmm. but even if you didn't know that, mm-hmm. you would think we were doing it because of the nature of the film, the pacing of the film.
Right, right, right.
So we could have kept that to a secret to ourselves and just say, hey, the chaotic nature of the film is why we did it in handheld. So I think it plays into like what you're watching on screen too.
Yeah, definitely. Sexually frustrated wife.
This is one of the rare girls that comes back for like non-sexual stuff as well. Usually it's just like getting a hot chick right before they find religion or get pregnant and get them in your movie. But
but it's nice to have regulars.
It's really nice to have regulars. It's not that we didn't want regulars. It's just that they just move on. Whether they do New Year or not, they still get pregnant and find religion and do all those other things.
Some of them are just hard to work with too. And even if they're still around, it's like, do you want to put up with them again?
Yeah.
And that's the other side of it. It's like people give people a star, you know, a role, a speaking role, a decent role, and it's like they'll never get anything else like that anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But they still show up on the set and like become head cases.
Yeah.
So then we don't want to bring them back.
Yeah. Yeah, I think guys can age more gracefully in the sense that like, you know, if a woman's doing something like this, it's usually because they're the hottest girl on their block. And if they do this for a certain period of time, well, they start blaming everyone for not being successful. A guy can be like, hey, like, yeah, I'm in the same spot I was a year ago, but did you give me work? Yeah, I want to do this, you know? Chicks, they just get bitter real quick. you know, just by nature of this business.
Yeah, I think it's like they get to
that flame out.
Yeah, they get to that point in their life where everybody's telling them how hot they are. It's so hot. Hey, I want to be an actress. I want to be a model. And once they step into that pool, they realize there's a lot of girls who look just as good, if not better, than they do. So you're no longer the hottest chick out there. And so now what sets you apart from everyone else, and it usually comes down to skill and talent. And if you're hot and you have incredible talent, you'll continue to rise. If you're just hot, you know, you kind of just stay at the lower rungs. And that's what happens. You could be a video girl, you could be a model mayhem, you could be an extra, but you're not going to move up to the stratosphere of acting without real skill.
Yeah. So, yeah, I paid the guy for the beer before we went in there so he wouldn't, like, think we're stealing it. I still don't think they knew what the hell we were doing.
Yeah,
no, he just took the money and just said, whatever.
Yeah, they didn't care.
Yeah.
Getting paid is fine.
Yeah. Here's another banger.
Yeah.
Well, I'm here. You called me.
I mean, his come-ons are just like something else.
Yeah. What's weird is we went all the way to Prospect Park to shoot this, which really seemed unnecessary because you can't even tell what type of park it is.
Yeah.
We could have went to the school park. I'm not saying like... I mean, I'm glad we went to Central Park. It's a nicer park, but you can't really tell the way because of the time of day. You know? That's, I keep saying, did I say Central? I meant Prospect.
Prospect.
Yeah, Prospect Park.
Right. I think we just needed to get out of like Bed-Stuy for a minute. Just something a little different.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly why.
No, I mean, it's a good idea, but it's just, it was, we just did it so late in the day that like, it's hard to take advantage of the scenery.
What was that one movie, the only movie we did where we were shooting so late that I think we went to Prospect Park and I had to leave?
That was Saint Metal Lady.
Saint Metal Lady.
Slash yeah. Maniac 2.
Yeah. That was the only
and then G-Lo finished up there.
Yeah.
And then G-Lo and I went back to my place and finished up again.
Okay.
And that's when I realized, oh shit, this dude shoots with like the camera strap in front of the camera.
Yeah, that was the
when I looked at that footage after that day, it was so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Not white balancing, having the strap literally in front of the camera was like,
Yeah,
everything looks great. I'm like, how can it look great? What are you looking at?
that was the only shot, the only movie we ever did where, like, in terms of shooting, I tapped out. It was like 3 a.m. I had to go to work the next day. I was like, shot. I'm gonna keep going with this.
This guy actually worked out pretty well because he was the friend of another guy that came to be a part in a film.
Yeah.
And it was like, hey, you're here. You want to be in the film.
Yeah.
He's only in it for like a minute or two, but he was really good.
He was
impressive.
He was good. Yeah, definitely so. And I remember this too. Yeah. This is another scam that I saw online. We just redid it.
Yeah.
There's like a list of like 20 of them. I'm like, we gotta go with these. These are funny.
Yeah. I think the bike is here too. I'm
Right down the list. It's the same place you were just in.
Exact same bodega. Yeah. Just down the block.
From your old digs.
Yeah. So I'm saying like the Prospect Park thing seems out of place because like everything is like within like a block of my apartment or in my apartment.
People from New York don't it's better than the fucking schoolyard. I'm tired of that place.
The schoolyard, my bedroom. The schoolyard, my bedroom. 90% of our shootings.
Any place but that.
Yeah. It's funny, like, we make fun of Hitchcock for always staying in the studio. If we had access to a studio, that would be the only place we'd shoot.
Where's he going? Like, he can run faster than that.
This worked out pretty well. I think I got this, like, footage somewhere at another, or we got this footage in Manhattan, I think. Either we or me, with the hand giving the middle finger. We had to make sure he ran in the other direction because he would have caught me so quickly. We were like, dude, go in that direction or it's not going to seem realistic that you wouldn't catch me.
He would have had you 3 seconds later. Oh, is she good looking, man?
Her body is banging.
She's another one.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, boy.
She's just a naturally curvy,
thin
girl.
She knows what she's doing, too.
Yeah.
Man. She's close to Sasha, man. She is really...
She's up there, man. She is up there. Yeah.
True, real skills, talent.
incredibly talented.
Yeah. Well, she must have taken a lot of lessons.
In Juilliard? The Actors Studio?
Just a raw talent. Wow, that was impressive.
Okay, let's back to the storyline now. Back to our regularly scheduled program. So this is an interesting shot. This came like accidentally when I was looking at it. I think it was a wardrobe reason I did this. I'm not sure why, but it ended up being pretty cool because I just used my shadow instead of myself. I just cropped the shot a little bit.
Interesting.
Yeah. I forgot why. It might have been necessity. I was like, hey, this looks pretty cool anyway.
Well, he's a shadowy guy.
Exactly. Artistic.
Here's the full circle skull. It's been in a lot of movies.
I'm sorry, I don't do this stuff. Tom and I
remember I bought that in an early movie. We got it in a good amount.
Yeah, yeah.
It shows its face.
That was your thing. You wanted to get it in a lot of them.
What would a skull like that be doing in a kitchen? Other than a full circle movie.
A failed assassination attempt.
There was a Peter Cushing movie called The Skull I always wanted to do.
I love that movie.
I think it would fit like our style pretty well.
I always have been wanting to do that movie. I love that movie.
Yeah.
Maybe
we
can get that one in there.
You're such a civilian. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, this scene here was somewhat inspired by that con man in The True Lies when he was just Schwarzenegger, where he was just making up all these ridiculous things for the Jamie Lee Curtis character.
Bill Pullman? Not Bill Pullman, Bill Paxton.
Yeah, yeah. I always liked that movie. I mean, I like his character, how he's just such an obvious liar, mm-hmm. and she buys into it, so mm-hmm. we sort of took that inspiration and used it for this movie. And she seems kind of like the Jamie Lee Curtis gullible housewife type.
Yeah, yeah.
Although she doesn't get empowered and feminist at the end like Jamie Lee Curtis
does. This is still a full circle movie. Let's not be ridiculous.
Yeah. She's probably going to end up on crack. Not in this spoiler alert. It seems like she may end up smoking something by the end.
You see, so the next time they catch me, they dope me up.
This is
how does it? I know. I actually wrote a full sequel to this movie.
A sequel?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I gotta see that.
I wrote it's pretty funny. It's a pretty funny read. But I wrote it a while ago. We just never. This freaked her out, the fact that it was stuck in my arm.
You see?
Yeah.
I remember this.
Yeah.
This was so hard.
Yeah. So this was a day where, like, I think you would give me a few names for the scams. I Googled a bunch and printed them out, and we were just seeing how many actors could show up, and we would just pick ones and just give it to the actor, and we just shoot it right away. This is my already obviously a pre-broken laptop that we're doing the scam with here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I was working that day, and after work we'd met up. Yeah, I think I did overnight shift maybe.
Yeah, you did.
And then we had met up that morning. And with the actors and then happening just different locations in this area and shot.
Yeah, we were like right off of like Houston Street and thinking that area. Think we're that area. And we were just like going around anywhere we could into the house thing off the canal. Somewhere over on the east side, lower east side. But we had a list of the scams and like it's just go up there and do it.
Yeah. Try to get as many actors to show up as possible and just run through the scams and get it done.
Yeah, we must have got like three or four in too.
I think we got three in. Mm-hmm.
And all these scams are like legit scams that people do. It seems crazy when you see it on a movie, but sometimes when you catch people by just bumping into them or giving little things like that, you throw them off that little second, and their equilibrium is off. People can be sucked into it.
Yeah, the thing is to get their adrenaline pumping.
Yeah,
and then just like you're right, you just throw them off a little bit, and they'll just go with it.
Yeah,
and then not realize what happened till it's already over.
Yep. Yeah, I had this happen to me just a couple of weeks ago where some like guy was in a parking lot and he came in and he was like all disheveled and he's like, you know, okay, my car's getting towed and I see like $10 to leave, you know, to my car. Mm-hmm. It was in a supermarket right over by my house. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, for a minute, I'm like, for real? Like, I feel bad for you, dude. Like, mm-hmm. but then I thought, I'm like, no, it's just a scam. Mm-hmm. You know, but things like that, people can catch you when you're not fully ready, and maybe they haven't. And he seemed like he was somewhat of a legitimate guy. He just looked like he was in a paranoid state of mind. Mm-hmm. But that's how they get you.
Yeah.
And these things do happen.
Now, here's a contrast of the two brothers. One only indulges mm-hmm. in his basic instincts with sex and drugs. He doesn't deny himself anything. And this one is real disciplined, denies himself everything.
Well, he indulges of things that may not be
well, they spoiler.
He indulges of things that may not be of this earth. On the spiritual realm, he indulges in that way.
And afterwards, what happens? You fall asleep. It's no use. It's no point. Sex for the sake of sex is useless.
Yes, yeah.
And I thought the woman that I met.
Yeah, just two opposite ends of the same coin.
Mm-hmm. All that Old Testament judgmental stuff. Mm-hmm. She's going to start looking around, man. I wonder where she's going to look.
Woman has needs.
Yeah.
Whoa!
Oh, no!
That classic full circle slap. Yeah. There are more smacks than I thought. I know House of the Damned had a good smack. Mandingo had a good smack.
Mandingo. I'm sure Ace had one or two in there.
Ace had a lot of good smacks.
Had to.
Yeah. I don't think Trade Off or Lust
Hookers
had. Hookers had a really good smack in the bathroom with yeah. lesbians.
No, the pimp slaps and the bitch slaps have to happen.
Yeah.
Let's fight over Bobby Williams for a bridge.
Yeah. This is an interesting ad lib in here because
kind of similar to In Your Pockets too.
Yeah.
Right?
But yeah, I actually spot some cops here and I just incorporate them into the scene.
Uh-huh.
It just came up on the spot because we didn't even notice them before we started shooting. I just caught them at the back of my eye and I just said, all right, I'm going to end this scam right here and just run.
Well, if we didn't have the camera, who the hell knows? Oh my God.
Thank you so much,
Chris.
Thank you.
She was a cool girl too.
She was really cool. It was also kind of awkward. I think there I spot the cops yeah. and I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah, me too.
There we go.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's just a traffic cop or something.
When we see cops when we're shooting, it's like, to me, it's like kryptonite.
I don't mind the cops. I just thought it would work well with the scene, but I know you actually do mind the cops.
I do.
But I don't. I just thought, man, this is perfect that the cops are there. Yeah. It works really, really well. But yeah, she was really cool. But it's kind of disappointing with her because she admired me so much before she came on set.
Yeah.
And she realized I was just some like dude shooting like low grade softcore films. But she was like, because she read my bio.
Oh, okay.
And she was like, oh my God, you're such an inspiration. I have these issues with my family and you inspire me and this and that. I was like, oh God.
How you like me now?
Not very much.
Oh boy.
Needless to say, I never heard from her after that. It was kind of disappointing because like she admired me so much before we shot.
Well, like, what could she know? I mean, like she just showed up and did the scene and that's it, right?
No, she read up the bio on the online before she came.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. But I'm saying after she shot, all she knows was that particular scene.
No,
right?
No, she came to read at my house.
Yeah.
We were there for a couple hours.
Okay.
And then she came and shot this scene.
Yeah.
You're saying, what did she know? But
I'm saying, after she shot the scene,
uh-huh.
like, what was she, what would make her turn on? Seeing the final product? What would have been the moment of.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Like,
I don't know. She could have Googled me more or something. I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I just know
the reality of the situation.
Yeah,
so it could have been a lot of things.
She wouldn't have been the first.
No.
Oh, the Starbucks scene. Oh, the classic Starbucks scene.
This was in Lower East Side, Manhattan.
Yes, it's like around Astor Place.
Yeah.
We just put the Starbucks in there. I was like really not liking this scene.
Thank you.
So, people were really upset with us for being in. That's a real.
They were super pissed.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't believe how many people were lined up to go in there. How often do people need to take shits? But like, there were like people like banging on the door. What the fuck's going on in there?
Yeah, yeah, they were super pissed. Yeah. This one I was a little bit nervous to do, but once I got into it, I'm like, please, somebody just let me squeegee your fucking window. Yeah. I was even to the point where it's like, I'll pay you. Please, just let me just squeegee your window.
It's not easy business.
I'm like, listen, I'm not going to charge you. I'll pay you. It'll be a quick second. No one said yes.
And that was a tough day because we were trying to get it from like another angle.
We didn't get, yeah, and we like, could. I don't know why it didn't work out from the other angle.
Because it was the flow of the traffic lights. Because we were hoping.
This was the only time I tried to skateboard and it didn't land well.
Yeah. No, we were hoping it would be a red light. Mm-hmm. And the problem is, whenever the cars would come down, it was always a green light. So mm-hmm. cars would never stop there. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to get like a bird's eye shot of you doing it. Because mm-hmm. there's like a nice little overpass by Atlantic Avenue. We just couldn't do it.
I just remember we were there for a while. I didn't remember anything else. That's and we never got it.
Yeah, we could never, like, not.
I like this shot because, like, it almost seems like it's a studio, the way it panned.
A bathroom shot.
Yeah.
Hectic bathroom shot.
Yeah. Gotta have those hectic bathroom shots.
But it was funny with that street, like, you have a traffic light, and it was basically useless. Like, it was no one ever stopped there. That was weird.
Yeah.
So we have a hectic bathroom shot here.
They want me here because,
isn't that what we always do? This came pretty easy. Selling those hopes and dreams.
You see, the DA has me covering the Colombians, right? But then the CIA has me covering.
She doesn't even know the difference. IMF, ABCs.
That's why I need your help.
The 1, 2, 3s.
Yeah, he doesn't have a fucking clue.
No. No, so you were saying before, yeah, this, so the original concept you started with this, I think originated from a guy who tried the same scam on you that he tried on me.
Mm-hmm.
And then we talked about it and compared notes, and we realized it was the same location, the same guy pulling some scam of like, I'll get you tickets to the David Letterman show or some shit like that. And then after that, you had written a short. I think I was supposed to play the lead in it. But I think, I don't know, I was sick or I was late or something. And you have given the lead part to Jeff, but I did end up showing up. So I just did cinematography.
I don't think that you were like really into acting at that point. You were still kind of like staying behind the camera.
But I know you did want me, if not for the Jeff part, for one of the parts, maybe the Illa part.
Mm-hmm.
I did know you want me for one. And then either Jeff or Illa took my place. Maybe it'd make more sense that Illa took my place because what would Jeff have been doing there?
Right.
But either way, I didn't star in it, but I was there for that day. And that was the first incarnation of this. That was just one scam.
Yep.
And then that eventually led to this, where it's just a whole movie of scams.
Right.
Yeah. So that previous scam where that girl knocks me down, I was just like, just hit me as hard as you can. I'll just take a dive. And I purposely ripped it so like my underwear would show when I fell down. I just wanted to be as pratfall as possible.
This guy's getting over too much. He's just making out too good.
Oh yeah, he is.
Oh Lord.
Oh, man. Oh jeez.
Man, I don't know how you shoot this stuff and it looks so real.
It's good acting, man. It's good acting.
It's amazing.
Shadowy cinematography. Yeah.
That's skill. That's rhythm. Right on beat, man.
Rhythm is gonna get you. The rhythm is gonna get you.
Rhythm of the night, yeah.
But think about it, if Jeff was in the fold, he may have been playing this part.
I don't know if Jeff could go to that level. This is another scene I love. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love this scene.
Yeah. This is another scene with Pet the asshole. He saw a shooting, he had to walk in between us. This is another scene where we're trying to shoot and like the people walking around were just constantly like butting in. Some guy was even trying to sell me cigarettes in this scene. I'm like, do I look like I need cigarettes right now? You see the fucking camera.
Right on 8th Avenue
in Times Square.
Times Square.
Yeah.
And this was a real scam that was going on at the time. There were these rap guys who were like trying to sell DVDs and they'd autograph it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the person, like, they tried to refuse. It was like, but I wrote my name on it. You can't do that.
Yeah. Guilt tourists into getting that shit.
Yeah. The little girl's like,
so I think we got this DVD from a porn store, because at this point porn stores had to have a certain amount of regular DVDs.
Yeah,
at the time. And then we just got the cheapest one we could find.
It's real shit, man. This is like, there's a lot of stuff here that's very real. It may seem crazy, but it's real.
He's got the shakes, the shimmies.
He needs something. He needs something to settle down.
What? Oh, yeah.
This guy.
Yeah. I'm ready.
I think it was smell too.
Oh, I know.
You think about this guy in real life, man.
Where is this guy? He's just on the ground somewhere.
He's on the bill. Oh, man. Have something of value. The pacing of this movie is on crack.
Yeah. The nervousness.
Yeah. Yeah, this is some, I think I got this in Chinatown or something. I don't remember.
Oh, wow. He's just ready to take that to a punch. He's just thinking of all the crack.
All the crack I could get with that rock. I'll trade in this rock for a crack rock any day.
I'm sure your mother will be very proud of your sacrifice. I'm gonna go buy this for some dope.
Oh, that's a good one there.
I think that was real liquor too.
I'm gonna surprise you. I don't remember this scene. This is one I forgot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so with this movie, like, I burnt the hell out of my thighs, mm-hmm. because every time I would light things up, I'd put it back in my pocket at the end of the scene, mm-hmm. and it would just be, like, scorching hot. Mm-hmm. I have, like, burnt marks on both of my thighs after this movie.
Remember those heroin needles where you went to get them?
Yeah, wasn't it, like, you sent me there, wasn't it? Some clinic or something?
Yeah, you went to some, like, real clinic out on, like, the Upper West Side.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was a hard time getting some, and then initially when I got them, it's just like, ton of them. I think it still has some. Because they give you a shitload when you get them.
You know, the only reason my brother let us live is because you stayed away.
How do you end up with her?
How do you end up with any of them?
That's a big move.
Dude, you blink and he's banging someone else or smoking something else. Or
who is she? Wait a minute. Now, see, this would have been a case of, like, some backstory. Like, who and where? But, yeah, this was definitely one of those cases of, like, an actress who showed up and we were just trying to get the scene and move on.
Isn't that every actress in this film?
Yeah, but her in particular, because this day we got, like, 3 or 4 actresses who showed up and we were trying to get everybody shot.
Well, the other girl, the skater brought from before, mm-hmm. who we shot in Park, Prospect Park, mm-hmm. same night as her. Mm-hmm. We finished both of them that same day.
Yeah, we did. And I think we even shot more than them. It was 2 of them. We must have got some other scenes in as well.
Yeah, we got more scenes in, but those particular ones were same night.
Yeah.
That's why we ended up getting to Prospect Park so late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's a reasonably talented girl. So.
Yeah, yeah. Don't sleep.
Yeah.
The music really helps this movie too, because the movie, the music is relentless. I don't think there's hardly any scenes without music. It just helps keep the rhythm of the movie. Yeah. So like I said, I mean, the handheld was just out of necessity, because we literally got like both of these actresses done within a few hours. But it completely plays into the rhythm of the movie. You know, the franticness of everything that you're watching. And he was actually named Solomon from a real life Solomon we know, a guy who was kind of in over his head.
Yep.
Yeah, kind of scamming people towards the end. He had good intentions.
Yeah.
Turned out to be a scam artist and
a religious scam.
Yeah, yeah. This was one of the weirdest scenes I ever shot. He was trying, I think he was like twisting my nipples when he pushed me up against the fence.
That was pretty weird.
I'm like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? Like, I tried to get his hands off me.
And who was that dude in the movie anyway?
He was her brother.
Oh, okay.
He was the real actor that came, uh-huh. And his buddy was the one who did the lottery scene. Uh-huh. We ended up giving his buddy more lines because his buddy was better. I think this is when we were cycling, and we just found a good location. It's like, all right, let's just use this.
Atlantic Center.
Yeah.
Downtown Brooklyn.
Yeah. There was a fire escape that led to nothing.
Yeah. It was like, hey, let's just go up there and shoot.
Anything that looked like graffiti or old or like real New York, we just went to shoot next to it. So generally when you see footage like this just randomly cutting in, it's usually because there are shadows and stuff I'm trying to cover up. But it just plays into the rhythm of the movie anyway. Because it's hard to avoid the shadows when you're shooting at night and you're doing all that handheld in front of people's faces.
Yeah, during the day. Like a shot.
Yeah.
Kind of like Crimson Purple Rain. Let's Go Crazy.
Mm. Yeah. So this, I think it's a blank book. I think this was directly from that guy that tried to scam us with the Letterman tickets.
Okay.
Because I think the thing he took out was blank too. Yeah. Anything on it.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That part,
we're just gonna do some renovations there.
Now who's this girl?
And
I don't know. Some girl who probably didn't want to do nudity. I was like, all right, just make her do a scam.
These are paperwork here for the clients.
No name credits to the movie. Just show someone your
part. And, oh
my
I
god!
My official WCO license right here that makes you know that I'm official.
So I know where some of this scam came from. Like when I first moved to New York, back in the 90s, there was this guy who looked similar to the guy in Your Pockets too. He used to go on the train every day, and he claimed he was from like the United Homeless Organization, and he'd like pull out some fake ID and like hand out sandwiches, and it was such a fake ass thing. But he'd always like ask for money, and people used to give him money.
Yeah,
and it was
there used to be a lot of those people giving out sandwiches and fruit and asking me for money.
Yeah,
so much, thank you.
Yeah, it was like some United Homeless Organization. I'll never forget it.
Yeah,
he's like, look, this is my badge. It's like some little fake ass thing.
I like the way he's looking for something to steal while she's getting money. I thought I had a clipboard here with just nothing on it, but I guess it was just the ID. I remember this differently.
The children need more than that. They need at least $20.
No one's dumb enough to give me more money.
$20 for a rock. I mean, that's $3.
We'll send you something in the mail, an official certificate, and
I think she says you might have my name or something. Oh, do I need to sign something? I remember she said something towards the end. I remember I always had to have my zipper open too. It's like I just wanted to look as cracked out as possible. Dirty the jeans. all the drugs are under the magazine.
I hope you're happy, because you just jeopardized the entire mission. What's wrong with you?
He does so show restraint, though. He doesn't sleep with his brother's wife.
Just stay here and ride out the high while I go downstairs and try to undo your mess.
Part of the inspiration for this love triangle, I think, was from my brother's wife, mm-hmm. that Doris Wishman.
Yeah, thing. Yeah, that was definitely part of it.
Yeah.
It was definitely part of it.
Kind enough to let me into your house. Why are you out working hard all day?
It's funny how, like, a director like Doris Wishman who dealt with, like, major issues, and you gotta also look at the fact that she was shooting film. Mm-hmm. So her obstacles were even, like, greater than ours.
But
yeah, I mean, even in filmmakers like that, there's a lot to be learned.
Thank you. Okay, it's okay. It's gonna be okay.
I love that there's never a genuine moment with Solomon. Even when he's trying to be nice, there's always some like shadiness behind it. There's a nice shot here, too, where we get him leaving the apartment. Here's another girl that came through at the last minute that most people that give me feedback on this, especially my OnlyFans, she's their favorite part of the movie. She was a stiff in the love scene, but she's got some nice fake tits.
Yeah. She ended up doing a full porn.
Yeah. And she was just as stiff in the porn as she was in this movie.
Right, right.
Just stiff and lazy, disinterested.
This was an easy scene to shoot. Right?
She is so terrible.
Yeah.
She's just like unreal, like as bad as you can possibly be.
Yeah.
She only had like two lines.
That's it.
You just got to.
That was from a John Holmes moment from Wonder Man, where he was just begging at the end of the movie. He came back full crackhead to like his ex-wife and just begging her.
Yeah, the problem with her is like every 2 seconds she'd look at the camera and fix her hair. She's constantly fixing her hair and looking at the camera. She'll say two lines and look at the camera. Two words, look at the camera. It was really annoying editing this.
Baby, you're making the biggest mistake of your life.
Yeah, it was definitely from the Wonderland movie. I believe it was Wonderland. It was one of those John Holmes drugged out movies. There's a few of them he did.
Really?
Yeah, there was Wonderland, and there was like one or two. One Boogie Nights was recently released.
Yeah, I know you're a big fan of Wonderland.
Yeah, I liked it. It was sleazy and dirty. I mean, sometimes I like movies like that.
It's kind of like these tunes so far.
No, that would never happen. He was giving up. Really?
No, just stuck with the drunk story. I think he's gonna buy that for now, but it's only gonna buy so much time.
I thought I wore the fedora a lot more than I did in this movie. It seems like I wear the bucket cap and the red shirt more than the fedora and the white shirt.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Because I think the fedora and the white shirt was Bobby Brown inspired.
It was.
And this was more like Dope Sick Love inspired.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was a little bit more 50-50 than it was.
No, it was mostly red.
Yeah. Just dying for any kind of human contact.
Anything at all.
This was another one from the last of the three in the Manhattan shit we did.
Yeah. My 2-year-old daughter's in there. There's no air conditioning. The windows are closed. I just need somebody to pull
the funny thing is he's doing different scams. Same day, same location, different scams.
Just down the block, I'll pull another scam. Sucker born every minute, as they say.
Yeah. I really appreciate it. Let me do a hat. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
I mean, the looks are important because that's his nerves.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, I hope I get something here.
Yeah.
I thought I saw some change, maybe. Anything? Metro card? Yeah. Yes.
God bless you.
You always say that. God bless everybody.
I think that was just some random lady walking by. I just kept going with it.
You had to. Now, is she supposed to be his drug dealer?
Yeah, he's trying to cut a deal with her, I think.
I can never figure this out.
So I think he's buying drugs from her, but he's trying to cut a deal with her where they get into business together or something. But he's basically scamming her too.
Of course.
This is one of the things the critics did like about the movie. It's art chemistry. So this is true. She did a lot of the rap songs on Hookers and Her Boat.
She's like from Detroit, right?
Yes, might be. Yeah, I think so. I think you might be right.
I really like
her. She was cool,
people. She's a nice person.
Yeah.
Good person.
Go ahead. What do you got?
Okay. This is point. You know,
I'm just whatever it is, it's going to fall apart. It's not going to work. Why bother?
But I felt a good chemistry with her. Like,
yeah.
You could put us like. Just come up with this scenario, put me and her in a scene together, I think it'll work.
Yeah, she was good.
She was cool. She was cool. She knew how to ad lib and go with the flow.
I mean, you ain't got that much money.
This is just a taste, okay? This is
So this is a scam my mother actually fell for. Not this scam as a whole, but the scam of putting a money in an envelope and you get home and it's just paper. I remember as a kid, my mother fell for this because she came home with an envelope and I just knew after this story, I'm like, there's paper in that envelope. And she opened it and it was just paper. I don't think they got that much from her, but they did scam her.
Fine, 18%.
Why does he even bargain when he knows he's just going to rob her? He knows she's not getting any money at the end of the day. But he's still bargaining it.
It's hollow.
I'm keeping it low, so. My connection.
All right, 50-50 on that. Cool. We're business partners now. Sweet.
Literally making a deal with the devil.
Fucking desert.
Put some money on the table.
We'll get you something to drink.
Quick switcheroo. Good to go.
I'll be right back. You know how we do it.
Take your time. Yeah, you do that. You know what? I'm not even that thirsty anymore. I think I'm just gonna break out, okay?
No,
it's cool. We're partners out, all right? I'll see you later, partner.
It's the last time you're gonna see him.
Yeah. I remember I was legitimately trying to cross the street. I think this is right after we shot that scene where I ran up that fire escape that led to nowhere.
Yeah.
Salmon. Oh, hell no.
Oh, man. Somebody's going to kill me.
See, in a real movie, it'd catch up to him at the end.
Yeah,
this chick was stiff as a board, man.
Yeah.
She had no expressions, no sounds. I had to cut in other love scene audio. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it had to be quick cuts because she kept looking at the camera. Flicking her hair, looking at the camera. Flicking her hair, looking at the camera. She's a true hoe because she was lactating. So she just had a kid.
Listen, I don't know how to say this, but it's getting very, very...
I like the way this was shot, too. It's very shadowy. But again, none of this stuff is on purpose. He's just trying to get through the scene real quick. But it turned out pretty well. Because his character belongs in the shadows.
All these different organizations, they're just like...
But I'm pretty sure we didn't use any lights in this movie at all.
No, I don't think so. I think everything was just natural light.
You can't do that. You can't even attempt.
Maybe the other scenes that we did later between you and Wally and her upstairs in the living room may have had some lights. Mm-hmm. But that would have been it.
Weren't the lights at my place at that time? Did you have light?
I know I have lights.
Okay, but yeah, that is possible then.
That would have been it. Mm-hmm. That would have been probably it. I don't think anything else would have had any real lights.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler, I'm first up around. Should have been clear before now.
So Walik's character here is heavily inspired by Tyler Perry. Mm-hmm. I think his name was Tyler P. Crow. Mm-hmm. And I'm Solomon Crow.
He left. Tyler wanted to make absolutely sure that he got any outcomes. So he bought a huge life insurance.
Real religious, ambiguous sexuality.
The commission. I don't get this right. What does this have to do with anything? Don't you see? If Kimlin didn't cash in on it, it's $100,000.
This isn't as political or like subversive as some of our other stuff.
No, I don't think there. I mean, usually there's kind of like another. In some cases, there's like another political tone going on to our movies, but in this one, I don't think we bothered with that.
No.
We had it in Ace. We had it in Hookers. You know, we even had it in Mandingo.
You had it in with all the right wing stuff. It was definitely there, and They Almost Die.
Mm-hmm.
The only other places it wasn't, I guess, was Lust and
House. There was always something a little going on with us.
Mm-hmm.
I just need time to plan this out.
Yeah, I can't really see anything here.
No, we don't have enough time.
I mean, someone did read into the fact that I think there was one point where I was sitting in front of a debt, some debt office. And I was just sitting on the sidewalk and some reviewer commented on that.
Unintentional
tomorrow.
Yeah, super unintentional. But they read into that. But aside from unintentional stuff, I don't think we really aimed intentionally for anything. This was
Bergen Street in Brooklyn.
Yeah, we shot a few things in this general area.
Yeah.
But it was just all me walking. It wasn't any scams or anything like that. We just found a few.
Those were like two things. Abandoned buildings that I used to always drive past. They're long gone now. Mm-hmm. They're like two big, huge abandoned project buildings that you could always see from Eastern Parkway.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like always overlooking and kind of like, I don't know, kind of a weird movie to them.
Mm-hmm. Visually they were.
Yeah.
And the thing is like when you shoot stuff like that, like this, and like there's a bunch of scenes of me just doing drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You find a way to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, the drug stuff worked out when there were shadows. I could just cut away to it and kept with the rhythm. And this scene when the character's contemplating, I think it fit pretty well.
Yeah.
If you just get some nice shots, you'll find a way to use them.
Mm-hmm. I told Tyler,
so I think that was just our intention. It looked good. We'll figure it out later.
Yeah.
I told my priest in confession, but he can't do anything or say anything about it. Not even after we've done it can he do that. That's the way it works with that. Says who? God.
How dumb can you be? Your priest? He's a Soviet spy.
Here we go. There goes some political stuff.
And there are no Soviets at this point.
He's a red shirt, too. There you go.
Yeah.
Who's they? Them. That's who they are. The communists, of course. He'll bleed commie red.
Everybody bleeds red.
Whatever little time we have left, we gotta figure it out.
I mean, he's talking about it. It's, I guess, compelling as it is in other movies.
Not quite. I'm reaching here. The movie's almost over.
Yeah, it's there. We're scratching the surface. There's something political going on here.
If we do this, we gotta do it now before he gets in.
This just comes out of nowhere.
So this is like very similar to Trade-Off, where, you know, like, not very, but definitely his nice guy character
just falls apart.
It just kind of took a turn.
There goes our brave hero.
Yeah, kind of happened in Trade-Off, kind of happened in Ace, where he's the nice guy, but eventually he just can't take it. No, he can't take it.
She gets smoked.
Yeah. We need a lot of gun sound. It's like a Clint Eastwood, like a cannon. Boom. Yeah. She's your wife.
It almost feels like a stage play in a way.
Yeah, there was some lighting here. I could tell by your arm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's serious shadows. That's why I keep cutting to this scene. Here.
It's okay. I mean, it fits in. This was just a building that we just found our way into on Empire Boulevard.
Yeah, we were going, where were we, on our way to Prospect Park or something? Why were we here?
He was just there shooting.
Oh, okay. I guess he's going into the light.
Yep.
Oh, wait a minute, it's over? What the fuck? No, seriously, it's over?
Yeah, that's it, man. Because we always wanted to end it with the church scene, of him being in the church.
No, well, hang on, here. What did they say at the end? I missed that. How did the movie wrap up?
It just finished. It just ended.
Dude, I seriously, that's weird.
Yeah, that was what it was. Mm-hmm. No, we wanted to do. He's supposed to go into a church and repent.
Yeah.
And then go over to a candle, but then light the candle up with
crack. Yeah, we ended up losing that footage.
We could never get that footage. Well, we shot it.
We shot it.
But for some reason it didn't, the camera didn't work or whatever the hell it was.
Something happened.
It was some bullshit.
Yeah.
And then some lady started screaming at us on the way out. And then you were supposed to come back and finish it off with somewhere. It was never seen it happen.
Yeah. But I don't remember it ending like that.
Yeah, it's not ending.
I thought Walik was like, yeah, I'm finally going to be gay now or some shit like that. Did he say that? I don't remember that. I remember seeing that here, but I thought that's how it ended. Huh. No, I legitimately was thrown off. I seriously didn't expect it to end like that. It's been a long time since I've seen this movie. No, I knew it ended in that room, but I thought I thought there was more to the scene than that. It just felt like it just ended.
Well, she got killed and
he walked into the light.
He walked into the light. He saw the light. And, yeah, that was it.
That's weird. Man. Scumbag. It's gone in a blur though. That like, it's very breakneck. It doesn't really take a lot of time to breathe.
No.
I guess there's like a brief moment where it breathed, where he was walking around contemplating. Mm-hmm. But aside from that, it's just very fast-paced movie. Always something happening. It just started off with a scam and ended with that killing. It's just like, wow.
He has to get it all in.
Literally.
Sex, scams. He can't slow down. You know, you snooze, you lose in that life.
Slow down, you have a heart attack. That's crazy, man. That's crazy. So, like, after rewatching this, how would you rank this now?
Well, I need a bit of process.
I know, like, the way it ended threw me off. Because as we're going through these movies, we still have the color version of Ace, They All Must Die, and that's it.
Yes, it.
We're almost done. So I think those are going to be pretty high for me. But right now, I don't know where I put this.
I gotta process. I really feel like I know I like it a lot.
So I would say like the most entertained I was, just like beat for beat, scene for scene, where it's like I'm really enjoying this. This is up there with Hookers for me. So it's super entertaining, but Hookers had a lot of plot.
Yeah.
This has very little plot.
It's character study. It doesn't need to.
So it's kind of interesting, but it is super entertaining.
Yeah.
Because it's, you had a lot of sex and you had a lot of funny scenes. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting, guys. I don't know where I put this just off the top of my head right now.
Yeah. I don't know. I know when, as I think about this a little bit, I'm not gonna compare it to Hookers, but Hookers was a plot driven kind of movie, and this is more of a character study. Mm-hmm. So it's different in that sense.
Yeah.
I gotta think about how this is gonna stack up.
I don't know where I put this. I don't know. The end question mark?
You said you wrote part two.
I did. Oh man, that's interesting, man. Scumbag Hustler. I think there's like a short post credit thing.
Oh, yeah.
We did invent that, you know, before Marvel did.
Absolutely.
And also the guy walking around with a skateboard that he never uses. Yeah, we did that before The Rock did in that movie where he played like a bodybuilder. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did a lot of this shit before people did it.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't know where I put this. I think it's definitely over Mandingo.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's similar to Mandingo and like they both kind of go nowhere. They have a bunch of sex scenes. Mm-hmm. But I would say they both had good music. They both had good sex scenes, both had hot women. But I would say when you leave out the sex scenes, this is more entertaining, leaving out the sex, and they both have good sex.
Right.
Bandingo has a cinematography over this, mm-hmm. but I would definitely say at a minimum, it's above Mandingo, House of Demon, and Lust. Mm-hmm. Now it's just a matter of where it fits in with the upper echelon of the films. Then.
Right. Where are we here? Somewhere in Brooklyn?
No, it's Manhattan. Manhattan. Yeah.
I never remember us being in Manhattan at night shooting this.
Yeah. It was the same night we shot the middle finger. I think it was the same night we shot the middle finger thing. Yeah. That's that.
He's back.